in it. So thankful to all who have led us in our devotional services and their commitment to the cause of Christ. We want to keep Brother Gibbs in our prayers as he is in Houston at the Fifth Ward congregation this morning. He will be speaking there and then traveling back to be with us tonight for a very special occasion as we honor the service and the legacy of our own Brother Johnny Rogers. And so we want to keep him and Sister Gibbs in our prayers as they travel, that God would bless them with safety and traveling grace. I want to commend this congregation for its actions and services this past Thursday for the funeral services of Botham John. It was beautiful to see this congregation come together and to work unified for this great cause. We recognize that God is good in the midst of it all. And I will admit and confess to you that my mind has been troubled and perplexed behind the series of events that have occurred to our brother in Christ. So the message this morning comes from thoughts that have been plaguing me. And I apologize if the tenor and tone of this message might come to some as too political or too liberal in its nature. But I do believe that what has transpired over the last week is relevant and real for our consideration. And the Word of God is the only source I know that helps us deal with all things that pertain to life and godliness. In 2 Samuel 18, we find a striking narrative in the life of David that presents us with a poignant, penetrating question that has pierced my thoughts and perhaps yours as well. In 2 Samuel 18, verse number 27, the Bible says, "So the watchman said, I think the running of the first is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man and comes with good news. So Ahimaaz called out and said to the king, all is well. Then he bowed down with his face to the earth before the king and said, blessed be the Lord your God who has delivered up the men who raised their hand against my lord the king. The king said, is the young man Absalom safe? Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me, your servant, I saw a great tumult, but I did not know what it was about. And the king said, turn aside and stand here. So he turned aside and stood still. Just then the Cushite came, and the Cushite said, there is good news, my lord the king, for the Lord has avenged you this day of all those who rose against you. And the king said to the Cushite, is the young man Absalom safe? So the Cushite answered, may the enemies of my lord the king and all those who rise against you to do harm be like that young man. Then the king was deeply moved, went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said thus, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place. O Absalom, my son. But the penetrating questions are found in verse 29 and 32. Two times he raises the question regarding the fate and welfare of his rebellious and reckless son. Is the young man Absalom safe? And as I thought about this question, I said to myself, is the young man safe? When we consider David, we often see him as the shepherd boy, the lion tamer and bear wrestler turned to a giant killer. He is the ruddy youth who was overlooked by Samuel. He was just what God was looking for, to be anointed the next king over Israel. For God was able to see in his heart and saw a man after him. We know David as the great warrior who, in comparison to Saul's thousands, David killed his 10,000. We know him as the sweet psalmist of Israel who wrote, sang, played songs that soothed the evil and cantankerous heart of Saul. And even still, we know David as a backstabbing, two-timing adulterer and murderer. And yet, with all of his successes and failures, his highs and lows, his ups and downs, his ins and outs, we sometimes forget that David was a concerned father and a parent. So concerned was he for his best friend Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, that he became a surrogate father to him after Jonathan died. Even after his indiscretion with Bathsheba that left her pregnant with a child that the Lord told him would die, David fasted and prayed for 7 days, lay all night on the ground, hoping God would be merciful. David is a concerned father. It was his concern for his son Amnon when he claimed to be sick, that his father David honored his request to send Tamar to his side. And when David heard how Amnon had tricked and raped Tamar, the Bible records that he was angered and outraged. Because he was a caring father, he was more than just the greatest king Israel had. And when Absalom requested his family to come to his house, David declined because he didn't want to be a burden to his son. Unbeknownst to David, a crafty conspiracy was concocted by Absalom to murder and avenge his brother Amnon. David probably thought Absalom was making a gesture toward reconciliation and not revenge. Because a concerned father wants peace in his home. But the prophet Nathan told David he would not have peace, but a sword that would not leave his house. Yet this concerned father would long and yearn in the depths of his soul for his son Absalom. David was a merciful father who gave and allowed his son to return to Jerusalem after his murder. Even when Absalom, and then you find he manipulated the people by using his father's authority to counsel the people. And it was said that Absalom stole the heart of the people. And David would have to run and hide in his own kingdom and from his own son. And Absalom would go so far as to sleep with his father's concubines on a tent on top of a house in the sight of all Israel. And with all of this disrespect, disobedience, defiance displayed by Absalom, David is a concerned, compassionate, forgiving, and loving father. He would tell his captains in 2 Samuel 18 and verse number 5, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. All the people heard when the king gave all the captain's orders concerning Absalom. Notice now, all the people heard the king's order. With all they knew and experienced at the hand of Absalom, David, the dad, was tender and had a tender heart toward his son. I can hear the tenderness, concern, and love in his tone. When he asked the first runner, is the young man Absalom safe? He received no answer. Hear him again with more intensity, but yet loving and caringly request again to the second runner, is the young man Absalom safe? And it's the same question that every parent has on their mind. No matter how rebellious your child has been, how mischievous and disobedient or disrespectful they have been, we want them to be safe. when they're driving these dangerous streets and freeways, we want them to be safe. When they're playing in that football game and your mama comes down after you out of those stands, after you've been hit, she's interested in you being safe. No matter how old you get and how grown you think you are, the number one priority of a parent is the safety of their child. We are concerned about their welfare and well-being. That's why we as parents blow up your cell phone so that we can make sure that you are safe. You want to know the reason why we want you to be safe? Because there's some danger out there. There's harm in those streets. Unfortunately, there are some Joabs out there who are out for revenge and who are bloodthirsty savages who care nothing about what your parents say or think about you. You mean the world to your parents, but Joab could care less about you. Your parents may worship the ground you walk on, but Joab wants to see you fall on that ground. You see, Joab, in verse number 5 of 2 Samuel 18, heard the command to deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. Not only did Joab hear it, all the people who went out heard the commandment. But when Absalom was riding on his mule, his hair got caught in an oak. And the Bible says that his hair was in that oak, and he was left hanging between heaven and earth. And the mule which was under him kept going. So we see him now, Absalom, whom David gave commandment over, is hanging by his hair in an oak tree. And the Bible says in 2 Samuel 18:10, now a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, I just saw Absalom hanging in a terebinth tree. Joab said to the man who told him, you just saw him? And why didn't you strike him there to the ground? Would have given you 10 shekels of silver and a belt. The man said to Joab, though I were to receive 1,000 shekels of silver in my hand, would I not raise my hand against the king's son? For in our hearing, the king commanded you and Abishai and Ittai, saying, beware lest anyone touch the young man Absalom. You heard the king's commandment concerning him. And if you had given me 1,000 shekels of silver, I still would not have touched him. Otherwise, I would have dealt falsely against my own life. In other words, I would jeopardize my own self. There's nothing hidden from the king. You yourself would have set yourself against me. In other words, you would have set it against me that I did it. There's some Joabs out there who will hear, but they don't care about what the king commanded. There's harm out there. Joab saw Absalom hanging in that tree, and he probably thought about the day he came to his fields and burnt them. And Absalom didn't see what David saw. David saw his lost child. But Joab saw an enemy of the king. And so he ignored the king's command. Took three darts and put them in the heart of Absalom. Had 10 men around him, and they killed him. And it's unfortunate that some people don't see what your parents see when they see you. Your parents see potential and possibility. Someone else sees color, a stereotype, a prejudice. And because we know that everyone does not see you as we see you, we get concerned about your safety. Then there are those like Ahimaaz who think they are helping. But in actuality, they may be hurting. You see, Ahimaaz wanted to go and tell David about the victory. But Joab didn't want him to go. Because sometimes the messenger is harmed because of the message. And Joab didn't want him to be the one to tell David about the death of Absalom in verse number 20. So Joab commissioned an unnamed Cushite. Somebody has to tell David about Absalom, but it doesn't need to be Ahimaaz, because Ahimaaz might do more harm than good. Someone has wisely defined tact as the knack of making a point without making an enemy. But Ahimaaz was insistent on running to bring the news to the king. He was so excited to bring the news that he outran the Cushite. When he got to David, he was ready to tell the good news, but he wasn't ready to answer David's question, "Is the young man safe?" And we got to be careful who the messengers are. I've been reading a lot of posts and tweets concerning this tragic event that shook our brotherhood to its core, but I'm afraid it's going to take those who are not as close to the situation to help us with an answer. What I'm saying is that sometimes until we can get a Cushite, somebody outside of us, to get involved in the cause of these injustices, sometimes folk will not hear what we are saying. And I'm telling you, until all involved, black and white, are involved, when all of our brothers and sisters who worship on the other side of town take a stand with their brothers and sisters on this side of town, we are going to continue to see insignificant progress. I don't know about you, but Thursday was the first time in my life I'd ever seen as many black and white come together in a unified effort in the Church of Christ like we did, and it was beautiful. Sometimes I'm telling you that I've been reading tweets and posts from us, and there was one brother from Greenville Oaks who put a message together, and it was shared over 45,000 times in less than 2 hours. And I'm saying to us, if there is going to be any significant change, we're going to need all messengers on the same page. Is the young man safe? I'm sorry to tell you, if you're looking for safety in this life, you're not going to find it. Top three causes of death for black men ages 15 to 34 in America are homicide, accidents, and suicide. The rate of homicide in our people is 10 times the rate of those outside of us. I'm sorry to tell you, mama, daddy, and it does not look like we're going to find safety in this world, even if you are a member of the Church of Christ. Communities are not getting better, they're getting worse. If you're thinking about exercising your First Amendment right and your Second Amendment right, that's going to bring you safety, I'm sorry to tell you, it's not. You're looking for safety through your high-tech Ring doorbell system. You are looking in the wrong place. You think by paying ADT every month that you got safety? I'm here to tell you, you don't. You think because you live in a gated community in an exclusive neighborhood with minimal access to the public, you're going to be safe? I'm sorry to tell you, no. The only sure and certain safety is in a relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Hear the psalmist saying, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth even forever. Somebody might say, I can see the mountain, but I don't see the Lord. But I'm just going to trust His word and His promise. And as long as God has a people, God's people have a promise. Jesus said in John 10 and verse number 27 through 29, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. See, that means that Jesus is a shepherd with a fold, and those in that fold are his sheep. And following that shepherd gives us the promise of eternal life. Not only that, no man can take us out of his hand. And if that sheep is in Jesus' hand, they're also in the Father's hand. Somebody, I heard a little girl recite this verse to let people know she didn't have to worry about anything because she was in the hands of God. Someone asked her, what if you slipped through his fingers? She said she didn't have to worry about that because she was the fingers of God. She remembered Ephesians 5 and verse number 30, for we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. I don't have to worry about slipping through his fingers because I'm connected to him. She knew she had security because she was the very member of his body. We need to know as members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones that God has us in his hand. As long as we're in his hands, we don't have to fear what man may do. No, I started by asking us, is the young man safe? But I think I need to personalize it and ask, are you safe? Are you a part of his people? Are you a sheep in his flock? Are you a member of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones? That's the only safety that is guaranteed, is because he will never let anyone take us out of his hands. Is the young man safe? Only safe if he is in Christ. That's the only safety I know. So mama, father, sister, brother, make sure that you have a relationship with him. Because when you leave out of our walls, we don't know what is out there waiting on you, but we do know that if you're in Jesus, if you're faithful to him, you will always be all right. And I looked at David. And David, after he heard about his son Absalom, the Bible says that he wept profusely. He was inconsolable. In chapter 19, the Bible says that the day of rejoicing was turned into a day of mourning. And I asked myself, how could David experience all that he experienced at the hand of his own son and yet be inconsolable at his death? You see, David was a man after God's own heart. When you see how David responded, I want you to see how God responds to us, who while we were yet sinners, while we were disrespectful and disobedient, he is not willing that any should perish. When we see David, all we do is see a little glimpse of the heart of God, who says that I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can trust what God says, and if he says, I got you in my hand, he says that no man can take you out of my hand, you best believe that what he says is true. But I want you to know that everybody who says they're God's people are not God's people. Jesus said, many will say, many are going to say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? He said, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of him that sent me. So that's why you got to make sure that whatever you do by the will of Almighty God. And if you're in his will, that means you are in his word. Because his word is what his will is, and his word is what will guide us to the safety that only God can provide. So Jesus says, he that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him to a wise man that builds his house upon a rock. When the rains came and the winds blew and the floods, the winds blew and beat upon that house, it stood because it was founded on a rock. God's word is a rock that is a sure foundation. And if we stand on the word of God, we know that God will take care of his people. You're here, you're not a child of God. His will is God's will that you believe in his son, Jesus Christ. It's God's will that you repent of your sins. It's God's will that you confess Christ to be the Son of God. And it's God's will that you go down in the watery grave of baptism that makes you his child, gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you live faithful unto death, he'll give you a crown of life that fades not away. If you are a child of God, but you haven't been living according to God's will, won't you get back in his will? Today, right now, as we stand and as we sing the song that has been selected.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the